Austin's a busy guy. He doesn't have time to start rolling music.
Interdispersing.
He's a wonderful man. Today it really is the Pomp and Joe show because the man sitting across from me in a wonderful sweater vest, is that, Bob? A pull-up? What is
little,
that?
Yeah, little
pullover vest?
It's just a zipper-up vest, yes.
You look healthy. You look much younger than your years, and I'm glad to see you today.
Thank you, Joe. And you look wonderful, too, with your Sabres hat.
You like
Although, since you've donned it, they've lost 10 in a row.
Well, I could have donned it 20 years ago, and it would be the same. But
yeah,
it's the
but
best
at least
logo.
You had the French connection back then. Now, what do you have?
Do you remember how Rene Robert got to the Penguins, who they traded to the Sabres?
No.
Eddie Shack.
I remember Shack, Schinkel, Shock. What a great line it was.
What did they call it? I don't remember. He used to do end-to-end rushes, something with Eddie Shack. That
I rhymed. Used to love watching Sillaps play with John Pronovo. And that Lowell McDonald, I think, was the third guy on that line.
You were just a little Bob then, right?
The century line, they called it. It was unbelievable watching them.
Man, I miss the Civic Arena, the Mellon Arena, Bob. I know a lot of people don't. I do. I think it was one of the most unique sporting facilities in the whole country, and I've been to many. I loved that place. I know it had to go, but I loved it. Did you?
It was a little bit ahead of its time with a retractable roof. And
were you ever in it with the retractable
roof?
Yes,
for Pittsburgh tennis match. What do they call them? Triangles?
Triangles.
Pittsburgh
yeah.
Triangles.
Yeah,
with,
yeah.
Vitas Derelitis was on that team.
Man.
Do you remember? And they opened up the roof one night and watching world team tennis.
Holy horse milk.
Yeah.
How do you think Limits is doing today? Oh, I thought you had a bandage on your nose. It's the sun in there.
Yeah, the sun's playing havoc with a lot of things today.
I thought
today.
He may have gotten
right
punched.
Through the window. No fights last night, Joe.
No, between you and Donnie football, everything
I'm
okay?
I'm doing well.
I'm glad to hear that. It's an exciting day around here, Bob. It's our Christmas party. They're already getting the room next to us ready, which means free food for us. But also, today is when we start recording the Very Malzy Christmas album. It's going to be me, you.
Oh, wait a minute. I don't have any lyrics.
I have the
up
lyrics.
Up on the housetop, Malzy waves. His favorite Steeler linebacker was Lauren Tate.
Hopefully, we're going to clean it up. We're going to clean it up a little. We'll look back on that like they look back on the first days of first moments of We Are the World. Did you see that documentary?
Yes.
We're going to have it polished. I have lyrics.
I love that whole thing when that happened.
Oh,
that was
great.
And bring all those artists together like that. It was unbelievable.
Incredible. And this will be similar. Believe me. We'll look back on this as a momentous time in Pittsburgh music. It's going to be me, you, Limits, Greta and Jenna from the sales department, along with Gwyn, of course, who provides the soundtrack for the show a lot of days. And then Donnie Football is going to jump in and read, make dramatic readings just in a reading voice because he has that classic Pittsburghese, right?
Sure.
So that's you're up for it. Choice. I think in the noon hour, we're going to do about a 5-minute recording of at least we're going to try Malzy the Snowman. And I have the lyrics for
okay.
that.
As long as you have the lyrics and as long as you don't go too high octave for me, I'm good.
No, I think it's going to be amazing. And then we're going to send it to our friend Steve Wilson, our engineer expert. I think he works out of Atlanta now or somewhere. And he's going to polish it. And I think by tomorrow anyway, we should at least be able to release our first single, Bob. Malzy the Snowman.
Well, I don't know if I'm excited. I don't know if I'm scared. I don't know what it is.
Watch out, streaming charts. Top 25 on Spotify. Here we come.
Once the singing starts, Bob definitely gets into it. Play that again and just listen to Bob's voice. He's the low guy here. I mean, listen to this.
Up on the housetop, Malzy waves. His favorite Steeler linebacker was Lauren Tate.
He petered out at the end.
Well, because I didn't know the lyrics and I couldn't remind.
I know. I had to
Taves
get Lauren.
Taves was a good rhyme, though.
It was.
To pick Lauren Taves out of the
up
air.
Up on the housetop,
no more.
Malzy
waves. No more. All right. We're going to do that later today. The Steelers are the story, Bob. As you and I both know, we didn't really have a chance to rehash the game yesterday. Well, because you weren't here. You were introducing the Tomlin News Conference.
That's right.
How did that go?
Oh, it was good. We tape the show that we do, a 30-minute show before the news conference every week. So,
what kind of mood was he in?
He was in a great mood.
Yeah?
Really good mood, yeah. And really excited about what lies ahead. I mean, we went back and talked over all the minutiae of that game and some of the decisions that he has to make on the fly sometimes, and some good, some bad. That's the way it is. But I really think he's looking forward to that. There's something about the Baltimore Ravens that brings out this confidence in him, because more than any team in the NFL, they play him twice. They know how to, you know, it's one thing to contain Lamar Jackson. It's another thing to do it. And you can strategize it all you want, but your players have got to be disciplined to do it. And his players typically are. Some of these other teams let him go all over the place, and that's where he's dangerous.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because I'm opening the show today with not three, not five, but 10 Steeler questions that we're going to answer. Yeah, it's going to be incredible. Some would say incrinculant. And I looked over there, and it looks again like he has a broken nose, Bob. Are you seeing the same reflection I am?
I have lights coming from both sides here, so it looks really weird.
Yeah.
That'll change.
Something's amiss here. And that brings up question number one. Limits, are you ready? It'll be me, you, or Bob, you and me will be the order of answering these questions. First, Lamar Jackson. Are we all aware of the kind of we all have opinions on Lamar and playoff games and things like that. And I don't think we get an accurate reading of this guy, because the Steelers just, they do something to him. I don't know what it is. I give Mike Tomlin a lot of credit for what they do to this dude. It's strange at this point. But are we all aware of how skewed his stats are against the Steelers compared to everybody else? He's 2-5 against the Steelers with 5 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, and 0 touchdowns rushing. What? And I know the Steelers are generally or have been better than Cincinnati or Cleveland, but against those two teams, he's 17-7 with 38 touchdowns and 12 picks and 8 touchdowns rushing. It's just really freaking weird. So here's my question to you. And we're all aware of the kind of season Lamar's having, are we?
Yes, you should be. It's right up there with Josh Allen statistically. In fact, it's better if you given the fact that they beat him head-to-head.
He has 34 touchdowns and 3 interceptions and leads the league in passer rating and is going to rush maybe for over 1,000 yards.
And he won't win the MVP.
He won't.
But he certainly should and could, based on those numbers.
If you can find me another player who's thrown for 40 touchdowns and rushed for 1,000 yards, I'd certainly like to see that, Bob. Has he done it before? I don't think he has.
I don't know about the throwing for 40 touchdowns. He's rushed probably for over 1,000 before, because he used to rely on his legs a lot more. But I think the refined passing Lamar is what you're watching right now, and that's why he's more dangerous. But, you know, bottom line is, you got to do in the postseason. We talk about this team in the postseason. Every team is going to be judged by what they do ultimately in the postseason.
I mean, he is winning some playoff games. He's won a couple. He got to the AFC Championship game. That's more than this team's done in 7 years. They haven't even come close to winning a playoff game. So as much as what you say is valid, he's got to get it done in the very biggest games. The point is, at least he got to the second biggest game last year. 34 touchdowns. He could become, I feel very confident in saying, the first player ever to have 40 touchdown passes and 1,000 yards rushing. It's ridiculous. But that's a long way of getting to my question for you fine gentlemen. When Tomlin refers to him as Mr. Jackson and gives him so much respect and that whole thing, is that actually sort of playing into getting into Lamar's head in a way?
Well, it worked with Mr. Chubb a couple of times, right? I mean, it may be. I think Tomlin is very, very precise about what he wants to do heading into some of these news conferences. He knows there are certain areas that he wants to get into and stress. I think yesterday Dean Pease was his go-to name, and I think, you know, by judging how he talked about him, is he's come in as a consultant, and he's now taken over that defense, it looks like.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's 75 years old, and he said it's a totally different defense. Well, what does that say? That says that whoever's running it previously, he's still there, but he's not running it.
And our guy Rob Long was all over that earlier this season. But Bob, do you think he's playing some psychological games with Mr. Jackson?
Yeah, I do. I think he, in a way, yeah, he's trying to play a little gamesmanship. Sure,
we'll see Mr. Jackson in a few days.
Limits, thoughts?
I think possibly, but the fact that I originally thought maybe this was just an AFC North thing because it was Chubb, it was Garrett, it was Lamar. But when he did it with Barkley, I think it's mostly a respect thing. Maybe it might be interpreted by Lamar as in his head because Tomlin and the Steelers are in his head. So I can see why the psyche might be there.
Well, it worked with Barkley, too. It worked with a lot of guys. He's their defense against some of these better players is capable of shutting down the one thing they try to shut down. Now, the problem is there are other components of these offenses that can hurt you. And I think in Philadelphia, we saw that with down the field passing two guys over 100 yards.
I'm trying to formulate this. I think there is something to it, but I don't know that I can articulate what this over-the-top lavishing with praise, Mr. Jackson, and then going out and kicking his ass every time. There's something there. I have yet to be able to articulate it, and I apologize to everybody for that, Limits, including you.
I accept.
Next question. I want your confidence level in the Steelers winning. We'll get to TJ Watt in a minute. Let's assume, well, see, you can't do one without the other. That's the problem here. Let's assume that Watt is playing, okay? So let's go with your confidence level with and without George Pickens, 1 to 5. With Pickens, what's your confidence level they win this game? And without him, 1 to 5. 5 being it's an automatic win. 1 being they don't have a snowball's chance in Mulsey.
Without him, I would say 1. I just think he's that important to them.
Okay.
Just because they haven't figured out a way to strategize to get other guys open, they're going to need to do that in this game because Baltimore's defense has gotten better down the field, and they're still very good at stopping the run. With him, I give it a 3. I just think Baltimore... You know, they have to be to the point now where I'm saying they're tired of listening to the dominance of the Steelers. Lamar Jackson, based on his season, it's going to be more difficult than ever to try to contain him, I think. I think Austin, he's at his very best.
I think a 3 with Watt, a 2 without Watt.
About Pickens.
Oh, I'm sorry. I think a 3.
A 3 what?
I still think a 3 without him, confidence level-wise.
Yeah, and what about with him?
About a 3.5. I feel really good about this game.
That's the only difference Pickens makes to you is half a point?
No, I think the difference is because they're playing Baltimore, and they have just this inept ability to beat Baltimore in so many different circumstances and force Lamar into turnovers.
You meant uncanny, not inept.
Thank you. And I feel like this game and this matchup is just so different than so many others. Like, the Steelers having Baltimore's number, I think, is similar to the Eagles having the Steelers' number over the years.
Or the Steelers having the Browns' number here, but not there. You know, it's really weird how it goes. But I'm telling you, this is a desperation game, I think, for both. I think the Steelers would want to wrap this thing up. If you win it, you get yourself 2 weeks of trying to figure out whatever you want in terms of health, you know, injury management. But if you lose it, now you're faced with the assignment of trying to keep winning.
Are you, though?
Yes, I think.
Certainly for the Steelers.
I want to see them get a home playoff game, and I think that should be the goal, winning a division, getting home playoff. If not, man, you could have a repeat performance of what you saw last year, which is a road playoff loss.
I know, but the biggest prize, which would have been the week off in the bye and then home throughout, that's gone. Yeah, I'd like to have a home playoff game. I don't know that I'd refer to it as desperation time. That's where you and I differ.
I think for Baltimore. I think Baltimore wants to win the division. For them, they have to win
this
game.
But I think both teams, actually, if healthy, are very confident that they can go out and win on the road in the playoffs. And quite frankly, the position they put them in, they're probably going to get one home playoff game anyway, either one of them. Probably just one.
Yeah, just one. Then you got to go on the road.
So I don't know if desperation is the word I'd use, Bob. But you and I differ. But confidence level wise, for me, see, the thing is, I can't keep doing this. I can't keep picking the Ravens to beat the Steelers and then writing and saying they're in their heads and then do it again. Except I'm tempted to do it again. I say without Pickens, it's a 2 confidence level. With him, it's a 3.5. How do you like that, Bob?
It's fine. My range is a little broader because I think without him, they're really they're going to have a hard time scoring points.
Yeah,
down there,
they're bad without it. It's a JV passing game without Pickens, and that falls back on Omar Khan. And I'm going to have a question about him in a minute. What about TJ Watt? Let's say Pickens does play. Okay, then what about TJ? With and without 1 to 5 confidence level, Bob.
Without. Probably a 2 with a 4. I think if he plays, they have a legitimate chance because of that ability that he has. It's uncanny that he gets around the edge and swats balls away. He should have done it twice. I have no idea how Hurts.
No idea.
No idea. That should have been another strip sack. So I think he can change games, and that's why I give him a bigger opportunity at four.
Becky?
I'm in the same boat with Bob, 4-2, because Watt's impact, especially in the games we've seen historically have been against Baltimore, had been significant. And his ability to chase down Lamar and in contain him and Alex Highsmith, I don't know if it will be the same effect with Herbig, but without him, I don't feel as good about holding down Lamar.
Yeah, I say 1 without him and 3.5 again with him, which even feels a little too high. But like I said, I'm not doing this anymore where I pick the Ravens to beat them. Okay, then let's go with both before I get to a really juicy question, Bob. Their chance to win if both miss the game compared to if both play in the game. Watt and Pickens.
1 and then 4.5.
Holy horse follicles. 4.5?
If they're all healthy and playing, I think they have it. Yeah, I do. I think they can go down there and they can win. Steal one in Baltimore, which is not something we haven't seen. We've seen it before. So, but if they both are out, that really affects everything, including the line.
Becky?
We like decimals in this ranking system. 1.5 if they don't play, 3.5 if they do play.
I'm going to say 0 if they don't play.
0.
3.5 if they do play. 0 to 3.5. And that leads to this question, Bob. And I want you to think about this one. And I want you to think about it very hard. Give me the Steelers' 3 most important players in order of importance, in your not so humble opinion.
In order of importance.
Yeah. 1, 2, 3. Would you like me to go first?
No. I think based on how this has gone, Russell Wilson's going to be on the top of my list only because he is the guy who calls the plays. He's out there all the time engineering this stuff. So it starts with him. If he's not in there, you know, not that I don't have enough confidence in Fields, but I think given, you know, what's necessary to win big games, I don't know he's there yet. 2 would be Watt. 3 would be Pickens.
It's hard not to pick the quarterback, number one. But when you have T.J. Watt on your team, he is the number one guy, but by a slim margin with Wilson, 2.
And Pickens, 3.
And Pickens 3. Would be 3. Yeah.
I agree. We all agree.
Or
well,
I might have a 3A or a 2A. Can I give you one of those? It's Chris Boswell. They need him.
That's a good point.
They don't have him. Who knows?
Now I forget what both of you said, but yeah, it's Watt, Wilson, Pickens for me. And we've seen, here's the thing with Russ, we've seen that without key players around, that he isn't, and this isn't, you know, this isn't a knock on him necessarily, but he's not good enough to raise the level of the team without Pickens there.
No, I agree.
I don't think.
But I also think,
unless you're playing the Browns, which leads to the disclaimer from 2 weeks ago that you announced, Bob. Enunciated.
Yeah, so I just think all 3 of those guys have to be available here and play to make this a team that can go into the playoffs and do some damage. But it was only the Browns.
I think that Watt's the most important because I think that's how they can actually win games against good teams. That's the primary reason by which they would beat a good team. Like last week, if they were going to win that game, it was going to be T.J. Watt. He almost had them in the lead at halftime, for God's sakes.
He did.
Almost by himself. We've all seen how great he is. What are they, 1-11? Without him, He's their most important player, regardless of depth at the positions. And then it goes Wilson and then Fields.
Fields?
Not Fields. Pickens.
Pickens.
I'm sorry.
Where would Deshaun Elliott rank in this?
He's important, but not that important. Compared to those guys.
I would put Hayward above him. He's up.
Highsmith
he's
is
up
another
there.
Guy. Highsmith is another
there.
Guy who
Highsmith's very
can,
important.
He can make
we
things
saw
change.
That. We saw that earlier this season.
Elliott's probably about 7 or 8.
Where would we put Jaylen Warren? That's not my question, but this is from my mailbag today, Bob. My intergalactically read mailbag, I might add. From Andrew Wiltrout. Why does Jaylen Warren not get more touches? Now, before you answer that, I'm going to throw some numbers at you. May I?
Sure.
I understand that Warren was not right early this season, okay? And that will help account for some of these numbers. Last year, he averaged 12.5 touches a game. This year, it's down to under double digits, 9.9. In the last 3 games, so injuries are no longer the explanation here, It's down to 7.7 touches per game. He played 49% of the snaps last year and only 43% this year. And it's not like Najee is tearing it up here. He hasn't had a 100-yard game since October 28th, since before Halloween. So even though Warren's yards per carry is down a little bit, it's still better than Najee's, and his yards per reception is up. But really, more to the point, Bob, Najee is not really killing it right now, and Jaylen Warren, to me, has looked more like himself. So the moral of this whole story to me is yeah, he should be getting more touches. Do you agree?
Totally agree. And tell me if I'm wrong. When you watch him run, every time he touches the ball, I think he's going to make some yards that we don't expect.
Yeah.
He does. He just has this motor about him. He's very good at blitz pickup. He sacrifices. He'll take hits to do it. He'll deliver hits. Everything about him I like. So, yes, I would like to see more. I didn't need to see Cordarrelle Patterson for a full series in that game last week, only because it seems like, you know, he had very infrequently used. All of a sudden, they're throwing him in there. And some say, well, it's because Najee Harris fumbled. They only had, how many snaps did they have after the fumble? I think five. They didn't have the ball, hardly at all. So yeah. I don't know what conclusion you can make about, well, he's not going to play because he fumbled. I don't think that's the case, and I don't think Mike Tomlin would shy away because of one fumble.
Nobody asked him. You don't think that Najee was benched?
No, I think they just didn't have the ball enough.
See, I thought it was glaring that he wasn't out there and that suddenly Cordarrelle appeared
in the
game.
Well, why wasn't Warren in there then? Was he benched too?
I think for a couple plays it was him and Cordarrelle, if
I remember
correctly.
There were three straight, I think, with Cordarrelle. So my point is I didn't understand why he was in there anyway.
Do you think there will be any ramifications for Najee in this game?
I think if you look at the entire season, how many times has he fumbled and lost the fumble? You know, he's pretty reliable that way, and that happened. He took his eye off it. He admitted that's what it was. That happens. The problem was it killed them in the sense that they were driving potentially with a touchdown, and then a response drive by Philadelphia was the dagger.
It sure looked punitive to me. How about you, Limit?
Well, and Cordarrelle Patterson played 14% of the snaps. I know they didn't have too many, only 43 offensive snaps, but percentage-wise, I mean, that's a lot, and that's
but
taken away from
the second
Warren.
Half, look at break it down. You'll see a different number there.
Should Warren play more?
They didn't have any snaps.
Yes, Warren should play more. Now, Najee, this has been one of his better seasons, if not his best season in a Steelers uniform. But I wonder the trust factor afterwards. I agree with you, Joe. I mean, I think he was benched, and I do want to see Warren because the speed and burst that he gives, especially in a game like that where you need to hit the hole quickly, where the holes close up against a really good Eagles defensive line. Yeah, I would have wanted to see Warren
and
more.
And it's not just that game. Again, in the last three, 7.7 touches per game. His role is dwindling here.
Yeah, doesn't make sense to me. In fact, for me, it would go the other way.
Is this one of Najee's better seasons? He's had four here. This is his fourth. How would you rate these, Bob? I'm not sure I agree with the limitless wonder.
I think Najee Harris is what he is. He's a thumper. He can give you some really good angry runs that can move the chains. And I mean, there's certainly a role for him somewhere. But I don't think he's the kind of back that you would want to give. And that's why they didn't pick up the fifth-year option. So I think they're going to, you know, see what happens at the end of the year. You could find running backs. The lessons are learned everywhere. You look around the league who can fit that bill, maybe to compliment Warren. But I don't expect him to be back unless he's willing to accept whatever terms they offer.
Yeah, I've gone back and forth on that. And so have the Steelers. There's no shame in going back and forth on your opinion on a player. That's what teams do every single game. And I have. Earlier this year, I was ready to, you know, lavish the guy with a new contract. But at some point, the numbers don't lie, as they say. And I know this is an old school statistic, but I do think it's telling in that his yards per carry, 3.9 his rookie year, 3.8, 4.1, and 3.9. That's 3.9 for his career. And I know there have been a lot of circumstances around Najee. That's a paltry average per carry. Bob.
A guy who's a feature back and was the number one pick, you'd expect bigger numbers.
Guys who are averaging 3.9 yards a carry don't get big contracts. I'm sorry. They just don't over that course of time. Mm-hmm. Now, maybe Najee will go out there and get some nice money on the open market. I don't think so. I love the passion he brings to the game. I think he's an effective player at times. But again, no 100-yard games since October 28th. And some of his games have just been sort of brutal. 16 for 41 in the loss in Cleveland. That's 2.5 yards a carry. The Washington game, 2.5 yards a carry. The next Cleveland game, 3.3 yards a carry, and then 6 for 14 against Philly. I mean, Bob, come on. Those numbers don't lie.
No, they don't. And that's the problem. They have to be more consistent. But, you know, again, I think the numbers for Jalen Warren scream for more.
Let me ask you a question.
They have screamed for more pretty much all season long since he came back from his injury, and he's been real looking good.
Let me ask you guys a serious question now. Man, I like Russell Wilson. I think he's doing good. I think he's an upgrade on Fields, obviously, in the pass game. But did the presence of Fields augment the run game? I mean, I can't help but note that in the three, well, that's not even true. That's not even true. In his first couple games with Russ, he did run for over 100 yards, now that I look at it. So I guess the question is, what has happened to Najee over the past six games, Bob? He had three straight 100-yard games, and since then, his high is 75, and he's averaging like in the 60s or 50s. What has happened?
Well, I think over the last several games, he has, I don't know how many times his average in terms of carries per game, it's down. Even with Warren's being down, I don't think they've run the ball maybe as much as they've wanted to. Down and distance penalties, there have been a lot of penalties. I don't know how much of that affects what they do in terms of play calling. All I know is I always expect if you're a feature back that you should touch the ball 20 times if you're doing things the right way based on how they want to play. If you don't get to 20, then there's something not right with the offense or you specifically. And I don't know that he's gotten to 20 in a long, long time.
No, the last time he touched the ball 20 times on a rush attempt was Washington, 21 for 53.
Well, he's only gotten over 20 once the whole season, or twice the whole season, though, and the high was 21.
Could the answer be that they've just played better defenses and that they've played teams that are more familiar with them and Najee?
I think we got a dose of that last week.
Like, Cleveland's run defense is decent, Baltimore's pass game's bad, but their run defense is good, and Philadelphia's one of the best in the game.
Yeah, that's true. That is true.
Not making excuses for Najee. It has to be better than 6 and 14 yards. But Philadelphia bottled them up from the start.
A wonderful point by Limits, is it not, Bob?
Yes, sir.
Next question. I'm going to ask this one coming up next. Two of them, actually. And you can weigh in at any point here at 412-928-9370 on any of the above that we're talking about. The three most important players for the Steelers are who, in order? You want to weigh in on that one. Coming up next, the questions will veer to Joey Porter Jr. Is he having a disappointing season? And do you see any hope that it's going to get rectified if you believe he's having a disappointing season? And then we're going to grade Omar Khan. I'm of a mind to do this because they just faced a team that has a blatantly better roster than them in the Eagles. And I realize the Eagles might have the best roster in all of football, but it was very obvious watching the game. And it got me to thinking, especially when I watched the backup receivers, how good of a job or not good did Omar do in the offseason of building this roster? Let's give him a grade on that next. 412-928-9370. Again, off the top, brought to you by JP Roofing and Siding. We're going to have Pitt volleyball coach Dan Fisher at the top of the hour as the Panthers get ready for another Final Four appearances. They are an absolute machine, and that is going to be fun to watch. And might we, Bob, be looking at a Pitt-Penn State national championship match in volleyball? Have you seen the crowds at these games everywhere? Wisconsin, Nebraska, wherever they've been.
Be packed because their team is their number one, and they're very good, by the way. But Nebraska is a really good team, and Penn State's going to have their hands full. But it'd be great to see head-to-head Pitt-Penn State. We've been yearning for that, and all, you know,
I might
football.
Have to drive up. I might have to drive to Louisville and watch that. And I compare volleyball, and I've been in this atmosphere a couple times. I compare the rise of Pitt volleyball, women's volleyball, to Ben Howland's Pitt Panthers in the same building.
Right.
The same building.
The evolution of it all, how it got to a point where it was the number one seeded team going into an NCAA tournament.
And an event to go to.
Right.
They've packed that place a couple times, and it sounds like a football game at times.
They've been knocking on. You can argue they've had one of the best teams for the last 4 years. It's just that when they get to the Final Four, they've run into some roadblocks. So hopefully this year will be the one that takes them over.
You want to know an odd stat with this? Pitt is 2-0 against Louisville this year. They have to play at Louisville to go to the national championship. Penn State is 1-0 against Nebraska. So the two matchups, undefeated.
Did Louisville win a set in either one of those
yes.
matches?
I think both might have went to five. I know at least one.
I think you're going to see a long – I think both of those matches are going to go five sets. Well, I just think they're that good, but all these teams.
Volleyball's become mainstream. Like the game the other day was on regular network television. I think it was the Nebraska-Wisconsin game. I mean, it's phenomenal. They had 100,000 people at one of these games last year. You tune in anywhere, including here, and the crowds are crazy. The TV ratings are good. Everybody's going to be watching this. I shouldn't say everybody, but tons, millions of people will watch these matches Thursday and Saturday. I can't wait.
Well, I saw what you guys did with Olivia Babcock. I give you credit for even being in there. That 60-mile-an-hour serve's coming at you pretty good.
She took a little off, Bob. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
Well,
but
she's
that
a
was
nice
fun.
Person. That's because she's a nice person.
Did you see some of her serves the other day?
I saw.
It's like skeins out there.
Incredible.
People whiffing on it.
It's insane.
I mean, those are the highest level volleyball players you can find, and she hit a couple serves that hit floor with nobody touching them. You know what you have to do that at that level?
She's the best player in the country. I mean, I know the Nebraska libero is being talked about a lot, but Pitt did win in five at home, and they beat Louisville in four sets just a couple weeks ago on the 27th of November. So they might have their number, Bob, like the Steelers have the Ravens.
Maybe so. Or maybe it's hard to beat a team three times in the same year. You know, one of those kind of things. You hear that a lot in sports, but I just know that they'll be well-prepared. Dan Fisher's one heck of a coach.
I can't wait to watch it. We're going to talk to the Pitt coach at 11. We getting Rachel Fairbanks or Babcock on the air?
No, they're both in finals right now. Final exams before the Final Four. So a lot of finals going on.
Finals still exist in college sports? I didn't know.
That's what I was told.
Jeez.
Student athletes.
Are they?
Gwynn Gold, our very own, singing that, Bob, and she sings it well. She's going to be a guest singer on the Very Mulsey Christmas album that we're beginning to record.
Well, that'll
today.
Make it a lot more legitimate than with us trying to sing.
I'm handing out the lyrics momentarily to all the participants of Mulsey the Snowman, and I think it's pretty good, Bob. And I want
you to
play.
You're good about putting together lyrics, given time,
right?
Thought.
That's all I need. I was pacing like Ron Cook before a column. Before
I missed that pacing.
Did you ever witness the pacing?
Oh, all the time. Press boxes, you know.
Do you know how relieved Ron must be not to have to pace again anymore?
Or maybe he's pacing because he misses the pacing.
I don't think he misses
you
the pacing.
You don't think he's missing?
I think there's probably an adjustment period, like a big adjustment period, but eventually you don't miss the pacing. The time I saw him, and this was only 4 months after he left, he looked like a completely new man.
Well, I think there's no question it's better for your health. I mean, we're all running around trying to do all these different things with no time to yourself. You can't take care of yourself a lot because of it.
Oh, he was tanned. He had a permanent smile on his face. He lost 20 pounds. He looked great.
Yeah, that's good.
He looked like the happiest man on earth.
He deserves it.
That's why me and you should retire and go play golf for the rest of our lives.
Maybe we can do a golf podcast.
Can we play golf today? Is it playable today?
Any day's playable, to be honest with you.
It's 10:48. Time to make that call to the Buell Insurance Agency. Get help with those premiums at 724-443-5610. And we're coming up on the 50-minute mark on The Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Bunch of Steeler questions at the top of the show. Here's the next one. How good of a job, or not good, did Omar Khan do in the offseason building this roster? Bob, I think this came to light because it's clear now, although it could change still. I don't have a lot of confidence it will if they're without Pickens, that these guys will step up. It's clear now, to me anyway, that Omar gets an F for his pursuit of wide receiver depth this offseason. Agreed?
No, I'm not going to agree with an F, not at all. I think his plan was to have Pickens complemented by Roman Wilson, who they drafted, and I think they had high expectations for him, and there's, for whatever reason, injuries, whatever, he hasn't even been around.
Isn't that a failure?
I don't know if you can blame an injury on as a failure.
I don't know that the injury is what's
Also think they did have pursuit for other people.
Is he still hurt?
I don't know. Because he must be, because he's not around. You don't see him.
I don't know, man. It seems to me he didn't enamor himself to
Mike
Tomlin.
I also think the Deontay Johnson trade, while at first people had questions about it, looking back, it's probably a win for him. Deontay Jackson has been very good.
I agree with that.
You don't have interceptions. The guy's getting 5 picks in a season, and that's what he has so far.
Do you think he's a good player?
I think he's a good player. Yeah, not a great player. He's a good player. Serviceable. 5 picks says that. He knows where to go. He's a veteran.
His turnovers have been good. I don't know that his coverage has been, but go ahead.
Well, I mean, no matter who you are in that game, Joey Porter's had games like that too. It doesn't matter. It's a tough position to play. I think overall, value versus value, I think they did pretty well with that. And so that's – I just think, you fell short coming up with another compliment to George Pickens. They tried. They had a lot of guys they were talking to, agents, deals. Maybe sometimes the best things aren't made. I look at Devontae Adams. Do you know how much they gave up to get him? And he's had zero impact on the Jets.
Yeah, but did you see the Eagles game? I mean...
I understand that. But I'm not going to give him an F because I think Roman Wilson was the plan. And injuries are injuries. We'll see in time if that's an F.
I'm not convinced that the injury is the only thing that held Roman Wilson back. I'm certainly not convinced that he's still injured now in this time of dire need. Where is he? What do you give him in pursuit of backup receivers?
You have to be pretty bad to get an F in this teacher's book. That's a pretty harsh grade. I give him a D-, though, because I'm with Bob on the Roman Wilson thing. I thought that Roman Wilson, I mean, I had him picked as their rookie of the year this year. I thought he was going to be pretty impactful, especially after what he did at Michigan. But they had the plan to go after a couple of different wide receivers, and you didn't execute it. From that perspective, it's a straight failure.
Well, when you say you didn't execute it, we don't know the return. We don't know what was offered. We don't know a lot of the specifics.
At some point,
maybe a deal was not good enough to get done for the player they were looking at. Maybe you overpay for that player. Again, I'm looking at Devontae Adams, and I see no indication that he's been any impact for the Jets whatsoever.
I mean, at some point,
they gave up a ton to get him.
I think the Jets have a lot more problems than Adams.
I don't care about the machinations behind the scenes. Deliver the baby. And there's nothing happening.
Well, we'll
here.
See.
They're horrible beyond Pickens.
Yeah, exactly. And that's been a problem. And that's why I gave him one. If he's not going to play, I don't think they have an opportunity really to go down there and win. That's how important he is.
But, so what grade would you give Omar at least in that?
I mean,
respect?
We're breaking it down position by position
For this one, yeah.
I would give him a C because, again, I want to find out what Roman Wilson really is. I think the plan was for him to be the compliment. And it just didn't happen. I would maybe go C- because Van Jefferson has not been very good either, and they brought him in as a signing. Scotty Miller, okay, whatever. These guys are just little bit pieces to what are supposed to be depth pieces. That's it. They shouldn't be elevated into number two, and they haven't found a number two. Austin's been good, but he's not a number two to me.
Yeah, I agree with everything you just said, which is why I give him an F. If you're depending on a rookie who's not a first-round stud or a second-round guy. Like, when did they take him?
84th overall.
So if that was your plan, and by the way, Roman Wilson didn't seem to enamor himself to Tomlin. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, knowing the specifics, it seems that way, yes.
And then he was hurt. And so clearly they thought, even though they drafted Roman Wilson, clearly, they thought they were a big-time receiver or at least a solid number two short. And therefore, your mission is to go out and get one, and he didn't. So to me, it's a failure.
That's all true.
But overall, what was your grade for Omar B?
In this offseason?
Yeah, for sculpting this roster.
Oh, I think it's a B. I look at Queen. I look at Elliott. I think Elliott's probably the best surprise, 2-year contract that was given out. He's been terrific for them.
Yeah.
So Queen has been good. He's, started slowly, but he's gotten better. I think when you go and you decide that you're going to change your entire quarterback room, I think they upgraded there. I think that's not an easy thing to do, but they did it. And you look at what they had to give up to get it. Not much. I give him an A+ on those moves just because they didn't have to give up anything to get him.
Deshaun Elliott was a great signing.
So
was Landon Roberts last year, by the way.
Landon Roberts is still doing well. And Holcomb, if he ever gets back, I don't, again, because of the injury, it's hard to rule what he is, but I think he was playing at a pretty high level too. So they solved inside linebacker more so this year than they've had. And last year was good, got better. This year was much better at inside linebacker. And I think drafting Peyton Wilson has had a nice impact too.
Yeah, the drafts have been, who can complain about these past two drafts? He gets high marks. He gets high marks on this draft so far, for sure. I mean, Zach Frazier has walked in as a top five player.
And I think Fontana is going to be a really good player too.
Yeah. We'll see. But other areas, Bob, that we knew were concerns, depth at receiver, which the last thing you needed was for Pickens to be hurt. He didn't fortify that. And then I'm still wondering about the corner position. Cam Sutton has a horrible grade from PFF so far, for whatever that's worth. I mean, one guy gets hurt and you have to go to James Pierre back there.
James Pierre is actually, aside from the drop fake punt, that should have been a first down and a good play call, he's been pretty good. I mean, in coverage when he's asked to go in there and make plays.
Are you confident in him moving forward in coverage?
No, I'm not. I'm just saying he's been pretty good based on, you know, his reaction to after dropping that one. There was a lot of emphasis on him. He was getting a lot of, oh my God, I can't believe he dropped that. Now he's responded by playing pretty well on special teams and in the field when he's called upon.
I disagree that he's played well in the field, but that's why they pay you the big bucks, Bob, and me.
No, your opinions are just like noses. We're different.
Never heard that one. No, I don't think James Pierre's been very good either.
Come on, Bob.
He hasn't.
James Pierre's been good.
I said when he's been in there, he made a pick last week. I think there's
for what they ask,
I don't care. You still have to make the play, don't you? He dropped what should have been an easy.
He is a failing grade down. Too from PFF out there.
Well, PFF gives Russell Wilson a failing grade. You want to
No, it does not.
He's rated Russell as the last guy in the AFC Central. If you want to believe whatever you want, that's fine. They have their opinions.
Hold on a second, has a very good grade here at 79. That's 12th in the whole NFL. That sounds about right.
Okay. Fine. I'm just saying, look where he is among AFC North quarterbacks. Burrow, Jackson, and then him.
He should be behind them. Of course he should be. Significantly behind both.
Okay, but my point is, depending on your perspective, if you look at past charts, again, generally speaking, and this has a lot to do with George Pickens not being there, when he's not in there, there's not many things they can do. This is why also it comes back to scheming. You saw Philadelphia last week. They scheme guys open with crossing patterns, with quick hit slants, with five-yard passes that turn into big plays. I want to see, and with Freiermuth, I don't understand why they don't target him more. I keep saying this.
I agree with you there.
He should be targeted more, especially with the absence of George Pickens.
I think that Omar did some very good work in the draft. I think that Patrick Queen has come on and looks good to me. Some ups and downs for sure still, but he looks good to me. Deshaun Elliott was brilliant, but I think there were just two areas, corner and receiver, that we all knew were concerns that I'm not sure that he's fixed. I'm not sure he's fixed those. Dante Jackson, I agree with you. That was a good trade. I worry about him in coverage. The picks have been awesome, and he can't take those away. I worry he got shredded in Philly. Shredded.
He did. He got his ankle broken on the one play by, Kenneth Goodwell, who came out of the back. He was a real good player for them, by the way. Gainwell. Yeah, Gainwell. Kenneth Gainwell was terrific. Santa Claus is outside. Did you know that?
No, I'd like to go visit him.
I think he has to be better. I think all corners, it's a very difficult. I was watching video of Sauce Gardner. Whatever happened to him, he's turned into a problem with the Jets, and he was supposed to be this outstanding guy.
Omar did a good enough job fortifying two positions of great need in a passing league, and I don't think they're good enough to get where they want to go at those two positions, unfortunately. And the fault lies with him, Mike Tomlin, to a certain degree, because he's heavily involved. I also think he did some great things. I'd give him a B to a B minus for his offseason work. You?
I just did. You asked me, I gave him a B.
B?
Overall, yep.
I give him a B. I like the Dante Jackson move, even though I worry about him as well, just like you, Joe. Deshaun Elliott was probably the move of the offseason, other than Russell Wilson. I mean, he did bring in Wilson and Fields, and I have to compliment him for that and the shift that they made off of Pickett to pivot to Wilson.
The quarterback thing, of course, is a huge deal. I think had a lot to do with that. I think probably more than Omar, honestly. You know, it falls under Omar's job description, so I do give him credit there. You still have to make it happen. B to a B minus. And overall with Omar, he's made some great moves and then some not so good. I don't think the Ogunjobi signing was great, Bob. We know some of the receivers they've brought in, some of the other guys they've brought in.
Go back to Ogunjobi. I think it's a good signing if it wasn't as much. The money was a little bit much for me. The player himself, when he's out there, I think he can be good and help them on that defensive line. So
he's a little inconsistent, not good enough for me.
But I thought the price was just too high. That's all.
Me too, which is why I think it was a bad signing. Allen Robinson from the AP last year, he brought him in. But overall, I think he's done a pretty good job. I'm not sure I would buy, the con artist that he's some miracle worker. He's done a pretty good job. Pretty good job. But if the idea is to win a championship, not good enough and didn't fortify two areas of need enough, I don't think.
Correct.